Welcome to Innovation Alberta, a celebration of science, research, and the inventive spirit. I'm Cheryl Croucher. Venture Prize is a contest sponsored by Economic Development Edmonton to help up-and-coming technology firms get their business plans in order and attract investment. And just to make sure it works, EDE's president, Alan Scott, has put over $100,000 on the block. And another winner for Edmonton, as well as the province and the country, is the NRC's National Institute for Nanotechnology. Dignitaries gathered recently at the University of Alberta campus for the official sod turning that marks the beginning of construction on NINT and the quietest building in Canada. These stories coming up in the next half hour on Innovation Alberta. At the end of October, Economic Development Edmonton will launch its second Venture Prize competition. There's $140,000 worth of prizes up for grabs, and this is to help new technology companies get a healthy start. In order to win, you have to put together a dazzling business plan. And to help young companies along the way, there's a series of lectures to guide the entrepreneurs with big ideas along the path to success. Alan Scott is the president of Economic Development Edmonton.
Venture Prize is a business plan competition here that is open to companies in the greater Edmonton region that have a high growth potential business opportunity.
Where did the idea come from?
Well, I guess I've always been impressed with what's happened in some of the high-tech areas in the U.S., particularly Boston and MIT. They've had a business plan competition there that has gone on for 30 years, and they probably had over 400 companies that have graduated as a result of that and have a market capitalization, or had at one time, in excess of $10 billion and employed tens of thousands of people. So clearly, you can see a business plan competition has been an important part of the commercialization process there and in other areas as well.
Why is it so important to have a business plan or to put it together in such a way that you can say, I have a business plan?
Well, I guess that's the way you attract investors. That's the absolute key, is to attract money. You've got to be able to tell the story. And that telling of the story goes all the way from the 30-second elevator pitch that sometimes that's all the opportunity you have. But in the final analysis, most investment decisions are based on a document, a business plan that effectively can communicate your idea to investors.
You've actually held the Venture Prize once before. What was the success of the last one, and how are you incorporating that into this year's?
Well, last year we had a tremendous amount of enthusiasm. Of course, anytime you put up the sign, $100,000 in prizes, it's going to catch the attention of the media and the general business population. And last year's statistics were fairly impressive. We probably had 300 people came out to our initial launch. We had 185 business concepts that were registered. That's teams that were looking at various opportunities and that did attend our lecture series and did carry on discussions with mentors. We had 75 complete business plans that were submitted and went through the rigorous judging process, the final six down that were judged by a venture capitalist panel. So, and then, of course, I think the real success was the final presentation, the final three. We had them present to an audience of about 1,200 people at our Economic Development Annual Luncheon, which was a bit of a risk from our point of view and a great opportunity from their point of view. And the three finalists, the winner, of course, Scanometrics, absolutely leading-edge technology, wireless testing of semiconductor chips. The second prize winner was Cinedon. They essentially have a natural gas leak detection piece of equipment that they tow behind either helicopters or fixed-wing aircraft, obviously a significant opportunity in the resource-based areas. And Targeted Growth, the third-place winner, was a biotech opportunity that was looking at increasing the yield of the canola crop across Western Canada by 20%. And so I think the winters represented the spectrum of economic activity here, are great opportunities, and two of them have gone on to secure financing.
What's involved in the Venture Prize? What makes a prize-winning business plan? What are you looking for?
Well, you're looking for, first of all, you've got to have an opportunity that has some growth growth in it. And, of course, that means that it's got to be providing a user benefit to somebody out there in the market, or hopefully many, many people that will give it that opportunity for high growth. And then I think you've got to go all the way through the fundamentals. I mean, you've got to look at your technology. Do you have proprietary technology? The key in the final analysis is the people. Who's going to do this? Is this the A-team or something else? And then you go down, have you assessed your competition and all the other elements in a business plan. But there's no, I don't think there's no wooden formula to this. Many, many people in the venture capital business will tell you that often it's a mix. It's the whole issue of context, right people, right idea, right place, right time, right market. And that's the judgment call.
You're having the launch in October, and the deadline for submissions is January. What happens in between?
Well, we have a series of five lectures that are being put on the fundamentals of producing a business plan that venture capitalists will look at. So we have that process going on. At the same time, we're trying to connect mentors, business people in the community are prepared to give a bit of volunteer time, people who've had experience, to help these folks put their plans together. So that's the process that that goes on.
Who can apply for this?
Well, anybody can apply. I mean, we're focused, obviously, on opportunities that, that have high growth. But last year, we had a lot of folks that had come in, had ideas, and I think benefited from the business plan lecture series and from some of the mentorship programs. So as I think I was saying, a rising tide raises all boats, and we hope this is going to stimulate the entrepreneurship process across the whole economy in the greater Edmonton region.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That was Alan Scott, President of Economic Development Edmonton. VenturePrize will be launched October 29th with the first of five seminars. The grand prize includes $25,000 cash, $25,000 worth of in-kind business services, and $50,000 worth of in-kind research and technology commercialization services. Deadline for submission of business plans is January 30th, 2004. The schedule and registration are available online at VenturePrize.com. Well, you couldn't have asked for a more auspicious day for the official groundbreaking ceremonies for NINT, the NRC's National Institute for Nanotechnology. A bright blue Alberta sky beamed over the golden leaves and green grass at the University of Alberta campus, where scientists, engineers, politicians, and special guests had gathered to start building NINT's new home. The facility will be the quietest building in Canada, which in itself is a marvel of design. On hand to begin the ceremonies was Dr. Arthur Carty, president of the National Research Council.
We want to help create the kind of research environment here that leads to technology commercialization, the creation of spin-off companies and other enterprises, ultimately contributing to the development and growth of a strong, vibrant nanoscience and nanotechnology cluster in this city. First of all, there will be a focus on the synthesis and assembly of nanoscale materials and components. Secondly, we'll target the integration of components into nanosystems with a high degree of functionality that can be linked to the outside world. Such integration will involve both hard materials, such as semiconductors or ceramics, with soft materials, such as lipids, proteins, and peptides. When we gather again here in 2 years to celebrate the opening of NINT, we will be fully poised to make our mark in the exciting area, the exciting era of the nanotechnology revolution. So I'd like to conclude by conveying my sincere gratitude to our partners, the University of Alberta, the province of Alberta, without whom, of course, this would not have happened. The NRC looks forward very much to a very fruitful partnership. Thank you very much.
So thank you very much, Dr. Carty. It's now my pleasure to present a man who really needs no introduction to this crowd, I think. It's your president, Rod Fraser.
Thank you very much, Dan. Honorable Ministers Anne McClellan and Victor Dirksen, President Art Carty, Chair of the Board of Governors at the U of A, Jim Edwards, distinguished guests, partners, friends, and colleagues. Welcome on this big, blue, beautiful, clear, and warm Alberta Sky Day. So what a wonderful day to celebrate things very, very small, something very, very large, and partnerships. Very, very small. As Dean David Lynch explained to me and to the Premier one day, what is very, very small? As a speck of dust hitting a nano device, think about the moon crashing into the earth. And for me, another example of this potential that we have here is the work that has been going on by Dr. Linda Pilarski, an oncologist, and Dr. Chris Backhouse, an electrical engineer, on a lab on a chip. And while they had started working on blood samples, put onto this thing about half the size of a credit card, put into a black box, having it spit out along with a DNA fingerprint, as we've taken on the challenges this summer of BSE, Linda and Chris can see that there's the potential to take a swab of saliva from every calf at birth, get a DNA fingerprint, and have that as an almost foolproof tracking device for every animal. And what gets even better, they think we're very close to being able to actually, with that same swab of saliva, get a sense of the predisposition of any given animal to actually develop a genetic mutation that gives rise to the BSC. So things very, very small that have this enormous potential. And so what is very, very large? Well, as our Premier said just a year and a half ago, having taken this tour through the temporary headquarters, we are speculating that those things that are nano devices and nano products will very shortly be a $1 trillion world market. And so we clearly want Alberta and Canada to be part of that burgeoning and fast-growing new market. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Fraser, for those comments. Our next speaker has been a very passionate supporter of this project, as mentioned by Dr. Fraser. In fact, when he was interviewed recently, he listed his support for the establishment of the National Institute for Nanotechnology as one of the two very most important decisions that he has had to make in public life. I would now ask to make some comments on behalf of the Government of Alberta, the Minister of Alberta Innovation and Science, the Honourable Victor Dirksen. Minister.
Just to confirm to everybody that I am a quick study, they told us to go to the empty mic. So I got that one right. When we were approached with the subject of the National Institute for Nanotechnology, it was a simple question to the ASRA board was, is this an opportunity that's too important to miss? And they assured me that we had to do it, and it was on that advice that we proceeded. The National Institute for Nanotechnology is a perfect platform for the three key strategic thrusts that we have in the province, namely energy, life sciences, and the information communications technology. So my congratulations. Again, this is a great day. We're very pleased, and we look forward to great things from the National Institute of Nanotechnology here in Edmonton.
Thank you, Minister. Our last speaker is another person very familiar to, I think, everyone here. I'd like to introduce Anne McClellan.
Thank you. Thank you very much, and good afternoon, everyone. It is indeed a very great pleasure to be here this afternoon. This NRC Institute will usher in a new era of achievement for Alberta's science and technology community. The Institute will make Alberta a world center of excellence in nanotechnology and put Canada in the world league in this developing area of science. Our government's goal is to ensure that we have one of the most innovative economies in the world. A key element in getting there is to ensure that our research and development effort per capita is among the top five countries in the world. We want to make Canada a magnet for investment in innovation. We want to make the maple leaf a trademark for excellence in the 21st century. The National Institute for Nanotechnology will be a world-class center. Thank you all very much.
Okay, well, thank you. Now, I guess we're at the point that you've all been waiting for, and we're going to ask the ministers to put on the hard hats and get up on the truck and dig out that first shovel full. Okay, so we're not really getting on the truck. And we thought that since this is a nano building, we'd use a nano truck to actually take out the first piece of sod. I'm not sure who's responsible for workers' compensation here. That's okay, folks. We've got another 19 months.
It appears we're making excellent progress on the excavation. I'll have to check with PCL, our construction manager, to see if we've just gained a day or two on the schedule here through this this very hard work that we're having conducted over on the site. And I'll turn it now over to Dan to complete the ceremony.
I would just like to thank everyone for coming out and making this such a great success, and invite you all back in the fall of 2005 when we have the grand opening of this brand new facility. Thank you very much.
Everyone had a really good time watching the dignitaries dig out the first bit of dirt with remote-controlled toy earth movers. But as Dr. Arthur Carty of the National Research Council is quick to point out, nanotechnology is very serious business for Canada.
Well, it means the real start of building the National Institute of Nanotechnology. I mean putting up the building in which this institution is going to be located. Now, this is one of Canada's major frontier projects, where getting into the area of nanoscience and nanotechnology at the same time as other countries like Japan and the United States and Europe, the federal and provincial governments are investing heavily in this. It's already proving to be very attractive to world-leading researchers who are looking at NINT as an opportunity for them. We're bringing people, Canadians, qualified Canadians back from the United States to work here. It's just a tremendous day. This is going to be a major success in the future for NRC, the University of Alberta, the province, and the federal government.
For the public, how important or how significant is nanotechnology and the science of it? It's such a frontier.
Well, it's a frontier, but you know, in areas like microelectronics, we have been miniaturizing devices for a long time. We've got down to the micro scale. We're now moving down to the nano scale, with 1 nanometer is 1 billionth of a meter. And it's just natural that the world will go there. So we are looking at a revolution where materials and devices will be made out of nanomaterials, and we want to be poised to take advantage of that from the point of view of research, of course, but also from the point of view of our industry and building up a capacity to take advantage of this coming boom in nanotech is just what this is all about.
What are the resources that Canada is going to put into this?
Well, initially, this is a $120 million project over 5 years, of which half is provided by the province, half by the federal government through the National Research Council. That's a very significant investment.
Thank you very much.
Right. Bye-bye.
That was Dr. Arthur Carty, president of the National Research Council, which oversees the National Institute for Nanotechnology. A key person in pulling the whole NINT project together, including the design of the building, is Dr. David Lynch, Dean of Engineering at the University of Alberta.
My part as Dean of Engineering has actually been a role that cuts across all disciplines at the university, so I'm acting both as Dean of Engineering, but both as the university representative sponsor for this entire major initiative of creating the National Institute for Nanotechnology. So I have tried to work to bring together different faculties such as the Faculty of Engineering, the Faculty of Science, Faculty of Medicine and Dentistry, Pharmacy, and all the key researchers together to demonstrate and assemble a true critical mass of individuals in the nanotechnology area. Then in addition to that, I work very closely with my colleagues at the National Research Council to ensure that the implementation of this major institute, which is a true joint initiative of the University of Alberta, the NRC, the Government of Alberta, comes to fruition. And so here today, we're at a really seminal moment in terms of bringing together the better part of over a year and a half of detailed design work that has been going on this facility to announce that we're ready to start construction.
And McClellan said that it could be decades before we even really realize the significance of the importance of starting this institute here. Why do you think that is?
Well, the area of nanotechnology is just in its infancy. We can already see some key developments occurring even today that will be moving from the lab bench in the university and the Faculty of Engineering, Science, Medicine, other places, in the NRC labs that we already have established in the new Electrical and Computer Engineering Research Facility. Those developments are already starting to move and will be close to the marketplace soon, but they are just the very, very tip of the iceberg in terms of what is below the surface that we don't even know about yet. And so as the nanotechnology field develops, we will find so many new and exciting developments of it that we cannot even imagine today. And that is why over the decades we will see such phenomenal developments in so many areas. The energy area that's so important for the province of Alberta, creating surfaces that are almost indestructible, that cannot wear out, cannot corrode. In the medical areas, finding new detection for illnesses, abilities to treat, having at the micro and the nano level, having targeted drug deliveries. In the information communications technologies areas, moving into computers that are thousands to millions of times faster than we have today. The ability to move information, to move light, just like it is electricity. Moving into all of these areas that we can only see the very tip of the surface on today. Over the next decades, there will be so many of these that we will look back to today and say, this was truly a groundbreaking moment for the country to establish this institute.
This is supposed to be the quietest building in Canada. How are you going to accomplish that?
Well, to create what is called the quietest building in Canada, we have to address several major key technological challenges. The first area of quietness, as we call it, is the physical vibrations. Think of a car driving on the ground and it's going over a few bumps in the road. Those vibrations get transmitted across the ground. And when that vibration then impacts on an instrument that's in a building, it can cause the instrument to shake. So that's a simple way of thinking about how a vibration can move across the surface. Somebody walking in a hallway, the footsteps can actually cause vibrations in labs next door. What we are looking at are ways of creating physically very isolated, extremely stable concrete areas that are separated from the building on which we can mount this key equipment and isolate the vibrations from elsewhere in the building, from the traffic outside, from the natural vibrations in the earth, from the many things that occur. So we're trying to create a very physically quiet area. And so this physical area of quietness can be accomplished through some innovative construction techniques we're looking at. Our team of design engineers, as I've mentioned, all of whom are U of A engineering alumni, have examined this. We have some of the key world experts acting as sub-consultants, and we've already designed some innovative areas that we actually believe will then lead other institutions around the world to learn from us in terms of how to create physically quiet space. The second area of quietness that's so important is electromagnetic quietness. And the reason that's so important is the devices that we've become accustomed to using for looking at things like transmission electron microscopes, where we're actually using beams of electrons to focus and image surfaces. These devices now become, when you include things such as focused ion beam equipment and various types of surface characterization, these types of equipment can now be used to actually move and manipulate individual atoms. As amazing as that is, we can not only see the atoms, we can move them around and create things out of them. Now, if you think about doing that and you have this beam of electrons that is focused on a surface, any vibration in the beam itself will affect the ability to move at the nano level. Vibrations in a beam of electrons from an electron microscope can be caused by fluctuations in the electromagnetic fields surrounding the equipment. And vibrations in that field are created by something as simple as the movement of metal through the Earth's magnetic field that surrounds us all. We are standing here with Earth's magnetic field passing through us. An elevator moving in the building will induce an electromagnetic field due to its movement of metal through currents. This is a fundamental property of physics.
Are our construction people up to that?
Our construction people are more than up to that. We have studied the phenomena extensively. We've brought in some of the best minds around the world to give us additional advice. And now we have looked at, okay, how do we go in here and construct facilities that can be impervious or extremely resistant to these types of interferences, these vibrations, electromagnetic, structural, pressure vibrations, temperature variations, all of these things that can upset the stability of our instrumentation and our ability to manipulate. And so we have an extremely innovative design team headed by the COAS EVME partners as the architects, with structural engineering through COAS EVME, electrical engineering through Stantec, and mechanical engineering through Hemisphere Engineering, plus a large group of sub-consultants who have wrestled these problems to the ground. We know how we're going to address them. There will always be new challenges coming at us, but we have a world-class team assembled here in the city of Edmonton, in Alberta, who then, after they do these buildings, will actually, by developing these techniques, will have an internationally marketable expertise that they have developed by working on a project such as this.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thank you for your interest.
That was Dr. David Lynch, Dean of Engineering at the University of Alberta. I also spoke with Dr. Arthur Carty, President of the National Research Council. Dignitaries on hand for the groundbreaking ceremonies included Dr. Dan Wehner of the NRC National Institute for Nanotechnology. And we also heard excerpts from the speeches by U of A President Rod Fraser, Alberta's Minister of Innovation and Science Victor Dirksen, and Federal Minister Anne McClellan. That brings Innovation Alberta to a close for this week. The interviews you heard during this program are posted as audio files and as written transcripts on our website at innovationalberta.com. And you can keep up to date on technology and research events by subscribing to our weekly newsletter, Innovation Alberta Online. Innovation Alberta is sponsored by the Capital Region Innovation Center, the National Institute for Nanotechnology, ICOR, the Informatics Circle of Research Excellence, the Alberta Heritage Foundation for Medical Research, the University of Lethbridge, Alberta Ingenuity, Alberta Pacific Forest Industries, Japan Canada Oil Sands Limited, the Sustainable Forest Management Network, Alberta Research Council, Alberta Conservation Association, and the Health Sciences Association of Alberta. Innovation Alberta is mixed at Riverdale Recorders and is a Porcupine Stone production. I'm Cheryl Croucher.